On Wednesday nights, myself and some of the other ladies of the church work with kids in kids club. And so this past Wednesday, we talked about the Valentine, you know, thing and what love is all about. And so as we did that, I kind of put on the marker board the different kinds of love that there are, so that they could understand that, you know, love comes in different shapes and forms and different scenarios, and it's so big, it's so expansive that it covers a lot of ground. And so we began to label, and so I'm gonna teach you these today. So we have romantic love, and of course when we put that one on the board, it was like, ew! You know, and we talked about how do people express romantic love. Well, they start liking to hold hands and with the opposite sex, and then they might smooch, and then they want to get married, and then they want to have kids, and you know, it's, and all of this, we kind of brush to the surface of that, what that is, and that's something very special and honorable as well. But there's other kinds of love. There's the kind of family love that we have, where we deeply care and are concerned and want what is good and right for those that we call our family. It's a natural thing. We want to defend our family. We want to uplift our family. We want to make sure that they're on the right track and all of that. So that's a family love. And then there's what we call brotherly love. That's the kind of love that we have for each other in the family of God. Okay? It's a thing that we care, we want to encourage, we want to be a part of other people's lives, we want to lift them, we want to help them. It's just a brotherly caring. And then this last one covers all of those but more. And that is Christian love. Christian love is where we can love people like Jesus loves us, regardless of what they're like or what they've done. In fact, it gets so extreme in the Bible, this Christian love, that it even enables us to love our enemies. That's pretty powerful. And that is what God is calling us to. Because God first loved us when we were in a condition that was not all that lovable. He loved us. When we were, yes, enemies of God, disregarding Him, abusing His name, all of those things that we made us enemies of God, He chose to love us. That's pretty amazing. That's why we can confidently say God is love. He enables all of those categories of love that we just listed. He is the giver and the keeper of all that is right and good. And so as we talked about these, I then asked the kids, well, how do we show love? How do we express love? And so I'm going to ask you this morning the same question. In what ways, if love isn't expressive in some fashion, then it doesn't exist. Okay? So there are ways that we show love in a romantic situation. There's ways that we show love to our family members who are our closest, the closest to our hearts. There's the way that we show brotherly love. There's the way that we show Christian love. So let's get to work. What are some ways that we express this? Go ahead.
I love you, my brother.
All right.
And my family, too.
All right. You see what he did? That wasn't planned, right? No, we didn't rehearse to make sure that, you know, that's one of the things that we said to the kids. Sometimes it's a physical expression. You give a hug or a kiss. I told the kids that well into my adult years, when I had my own kids, when I would go to see my parents, I would go in and give them both a kiss on the cheek. That was an expression to my mom and my dad that they were important to me. And I wasn't embarrassed about it or anything like that. It was just that was how I wanted to express to them. I can still feel my dad's whiskers on my lips. Really. Because he shaved, but it seemed like whenever I kissed him, he didn't. And that's a precious feeling, a memory of feeling that I have when I kissed his cheek. Okay, so physical and words you used as well. Expression of words. What else? I heard it. Help? Giving helps, yes. Giving of assistance, of resources, of whatever is needed in a situation, we do our best to give into that. Someone over here, Alice? A deed that has no strings attached, a deed that is just a blessing to somebody in some fashion, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever it happens to be, a blessing gift, if you will. Yes, Jim? Okay, yeah. Lifting up others to the throne of God is a real gift, isn't it, that we can give even to our enemies. After all, if somebody has been acting in such a way that they've actually become an enemy, I wonder how many people in their life would lift them up to God for blessing and help. Well, it better be us, right? Because there may not be anybody else. All right, good. Yes. Oh, yeah. Offering that gift like God offers to us where I forgive you, which if I really do that, if I forgive somebody, I give them that gift, that means that I'm not going to hold this offense against you anymore. Yeah, powerful. Listening. Yeah. People don't always need our advice, do they? Sometimes they just need us to listen to them. Let them get it out. And sometimes they'll answer their own questions just by talking it through and listening and being a patient listener, a gracious listener. Yeah, good ideas. Yes, Karen. We are going to talk about that today. How did you know that? Yes. And I'm going to jump right off of that and go into this message because you hit it on your head. Sometimes we think that taking care of ourselves is selfish, but actually when we take care of ourselves, we're giving then a good gift to someone else of ourselves. The expression of love is wrapped up in this, and you just described it, giving. Giving. Whatever fashion or form it might take on, the sign of love, the evidence of love is not taking, it is giving. Always remember that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We can't have a message about love without 1 Corinthians 13. It just won't work. And you're familiar with a lot of these words, and I'm only going to use one verse out of this, okay? And the verse is number 7, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. It says this regarding love. We're talking about love. It is love, okay? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I don't think any of us have trouble with some of those words like protect and trust and hope and persevere. We would all agree that that's a part of loving. The part that we struggle with is the always. Okay? The always that's in there like 4 times. I think, yeah, love protects those that need protection, that need to be cared for. But always, love should invoke trust. It should invoke trust all the time. But always, and hope and perseverance, and well, these are great attributes of love, but couldn't he just have left the word always out of there? And we could have lived with that. But we are called to such a high level of loving that he had to put that in there. This always thing. So the question this morning, and I think Karen hit it right on the head, is how do we love for the long haul? How do we love in a way that we don't run dry, that we can keep giving? Well, I would suggest this morning that if that's going to be the case in our life, then we're going to have to work with God that we can be refueled along the way. If you notice that relationships can be draining, even good ones can be draining, because giving, that expression, can empty us sometimes. And we feel like, hey, you know what? I'm doing all the work on this relationship, and now I'm not feeling up to it anymore. That's not a good place to be. So that always kind of can fly out the door. We've got to know, what does God expect of us in order to do the long haul of loving others as I love myself? Think? Yeah. I think so. We rely on him, and I think he's given us some clues in his word about how to manage life so that we are refueled along the way with the presence of God. So let me just share with you three things this morning to keep us alive and well and always loving. First of all, we're going to have habits in our life that refresh us physically. All right? We are not our best when we are fatigued, when we are worn down by life. Did you know that God had an answer to this from centuries ago about how to refresh ourselves physically? And it was this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Take a day, make a day where you can be renewed and refreshed physically. That wasn't a great suggestion. It was one of the great Ten Commandments for a reason. Because God knew, and he knows right now, that we need a day to slow down, chill out, and refresh our bodies. It's how we were made. We need that sense of refreshment physically. Now, how that happens on a day, a holy day, what is holy day? It's a day set apart for a particular purpose. How do we do that? Might vary among us, but we must change our routine. We must change the input that's coming into us and the outflow that's going out from us, and we just need to soak up life, soak up God, soak up resting. So yesterday was one of those days. I just did not even want to leave the house. I don't want to step outside. I don't want to start the car. I don't want to do anything. So guess what I did? I did nothing. As little as possible. Just because I'm tired of going. I'm tired of, you know, all the stuff that's the normal stuff. And the best thing that I could do for myself yesterday, not feeling well either and all of that, was to just stay put. Make it a day different than any other day. And you think, wow, that's a weird thing to preach on. No, it's not. It was so important that God Himself did it. Now, can you imagine God being tired? Not really, no. But I can imagine that God would need a change in His routine and to simply sit back and soak up the wonder of His creation. Why? Because it renewed his determination. It renewed his enjoyment of all that He made. You know, sometimes we're so busy that we can't enjoy the little things of life that really make our life worth living. Are you with me? Yeah. So refreshing physically. So let me ask how you're feeling today. Fatigued? How about too tired to care? That's a symptom of we haven't refreshed our bodies. How about we're depending on a stimulant to keep us going? That's a sign that something's out of balance. How about, and maybe I shouldn't ask this, anybody feeling grumpy? Grumpy comes out of weariness. Did you know that? Weary mentally, weary physically, weary emotionally equals grumpy. And grumpy is dumpy. Yeah. It's not good. It takes, my friends, it takes physical energy to listen to people. We said one of our expressions of love is listening. You know that takes energy. If you're listening and you're trying to bear the burden that somebody else is experiencing, do you know that it's tiring? Yeah. No matter how close people are to you, it's tiring. And when we're run down, the little things become great big things. You know all the sayings. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Well, that happens when we're tired. Don't take it too seriously. All of those things. Well, don't get cranky and defensive and critical, because those things are signs that we need refreshed. We need refreshed to just let God move in and just have a day of renewing us. Wow. Well, in some ways it doesn't sound like a real spiritual thing, does it? It is. Because spiritually speaking, I can get depressed. I can get doubtful in my mind about the things of God when I am worn down. So can you. So can you. And if we're going to be in touch with faith, we're going to have to be renewed. So we need to rest on that day. The psalmist said this: "It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you will starve to death. For God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest." It's right there. Yeah. So I had a guy years ago that was, I guess it was bragging and saying, if I can do it, everybody can do it. He said, "Well, when I was young, I worked 3 jobs to raise my family." And I'm thinking to myself and knowing to myself, then something got left out. So I wouldn't brag on that too much, because there's some important things that didn't get your attention, because the psalmist said here, don't neglect your proper rest. Otherwise, you aren't the father you're supposed to be. You aren't the husband you're supposed to be. You aren't the church member you're supposed to be. You aren't actually the follower of Christ as strong as what you could be. Yeah. So we need bodily disciplines and all of that. That's the first thing that I think it's a clue that God gives us of how to stay strong so that we can always love the way we need to love. Pay attention to it. Hello. Yeah. If you're going to love properly, you better. Yeah, otherwise there's going to be a lot of apologizing going on. There's going to be a lot of distrust because promises have been broken, and on it goes. It just complicates the whole love picture. Secondly, not only do we need to renew physically, but we must recharge emotionally. We have to recharge emotionally. So here's some warning signs that maybe you're not as emotionally strong as you need to be for the long haul. You just always have the sense of being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. The load is too big. The journey is too long. I don't know how I'm ever going to make it. And we're just overwhelmed with life. Or maybe there are desires in us to avoid people. You ever felt like that? Oh, come on. Yeah. There's some Sunday mornings I get up and I think to myself, I really don't want to be with people today. Come on, you've been there. Yeah, because we're emotionally tired, drained. Maybe you are constantly dreaming about when Friday can get here or I can get away. It's just that's my goal. I've got to make it till this deadline. I've got to make it to this day where I can back off. I've got to make it to that vacation. I've got whatever, and that's just always on your mind and on your the forefront of your thoughts. Let me tell you this: when your emotional tank is empty, you can't love always. Remember that always word? It's dependent on our emotional tank being full, or at least being refilled. So here's what the Bible says. This is about Jesus. Because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. This is Jesus and the disciples. It was so busy, they couldn't even work in a meal. So Jesus said to the disciples and himself, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Wow. There's only so much they could take without being refreshed. And Jesus knew that. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds, had to get alone with God the Father. And, you know, the person who's available all the time, Kelly, we've had conversations about this, the person who's available all the time isn't worth anything when they are available. It's true of all of us. If we're so drained, so worn out in our emotions, we don't have anything left to give. When we do give, we aren't really giving much. Emotions are like a battery. You know, it's one bulb is okay shining off of the battery, but the more bulbs you add to the battery, the more it drains it. Right? So do you know what's going on in your life? Do you know how many things you've got plugged in? Do you know what's taking the most juice out of your life? Do you know what it is that's going to pull you back? Well, if Jesus had to go and get refreshed, I guess we do too. Are you with me? Emotional things are draining. We have to regroup, find some time. So how do we do that? Well, find time alone like Jesus did. Just find time alone. Talk to the Father about it all. Share your emotions with the Father. Ask Him to renew you. Find time to breathe. Celebrate life. Find time for that. There's Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says there's a season or a time for everything. Or Ecclesiastes, I mean. There's a time for everything, every activity under heaven, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance. And people should, it goes on, people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. It's okay to chill out. Not to stay there, but to get refreshed there. Yeah, humor, laughter. Proverbs 17:22 says that it tells us that humor is a recharger for our lives. You know, when we're in the midst of the journey, and the journey is hard, and the journey has conflicts, or the journey has situations that were just weird and odd, and we say, you know, someday we're going to look back at this and laugh. Can I make a suggestion? Why don't you just go ahead and laugh right now? Don't wait for someday. You know, just laugh at it now. Because laughter is good, good medicine. It's a load lightener. And if we only laugh when our problems are solved, it could be a long haul waiting for the day of when it's solved. So we have to learn to find joy in life in the midst of the struggles, in the journeys. Yeah, that's an intentional thing, by the way. And in that, we find that I can take another step. I can move forward. That it's not as heavy as I thought it was. Let those seasons come. Well, the third thing, if we're going to love always or always persevere, always, what was it? I lost my key verse here. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We're going to have to renew spiritually on a regular basis. Renew spiritually on a regular basis. So, when we look at this verse from 1 Corinthians and we compare it maybe to what we're feeling and what we're doing, there should be some eye openers if we're off track. Like if we feel like nothing is worth the effort anymore, that's a spiritual problem. Okay? It's not worth keeping on, keeping on. That's not biblical, right? So there's a spiritual problem, or life seems futile, or maybe we even begin blaming God for the problems. That's a sign that there's a spiritual deficiency going on. Or maybe I worry more than what is reasonable. I worry, and then I worry that I'm worrying. And it just won't stop. That's a sign of a spiritual deficiency going on. And so we have to renew spiritually. In fact, we have to do it daily. Here's what 2 Corinthians says. Therefore, do not lose heart. All right? First of all, don't lose heart. How do I not lose heart? Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So if we're worried about if we're going to have enough strength for tomorrow, don't worry about that. Just do today. Find your refreshment, your renewal, your regeneration, if you will, today by going to God. In fact, the writer Peter wrote to his epistle, and he said this. He said, this is a great invitation to renew spiritually. He says, cast all your anxiety on Him, the Lord, because He cares about you. So go ahead, unload. Unload. You know, we can't drink in before we have unloaded. Right? Something's got to go. Worry's got to go. Frustration, the futility of life thinking has got to go so that God can bring the living water in. So in these quiet times, we surrender. God, this is how I'm feeling. is causing great love problems in my life. So I'm going to surrender that to you, and I'm going to invite you to fill the spot that used to be worry. I'm going to invite you to fill the place that used to be despair. God, I'm going to invite you to fill the place that used to have doubts. Renew me day by day. And then another way we renew spiritually is just what we're doing today plus more. And that is, let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. You need Christian people in your life. Regularly. Continually. Repeatedly. We need it. Because here's what happens. If we spend all of our time with walking with turkeys, so we go into the turkey group thinking we're strong. We know how to keep our stand. I can walk uprightly. I'll show them the way. But we spend all our time with turkeys who are doing this. You know what? After a while, you're going to start doing this. Yeah. It's what happens. Who you spend time with matters. Now, I'm not saying we don't witness to the world and we don't give to those in need. I'm not saying we don't spend time with those that are lost. Obviously, we have to do that in order that we can witness the truth to them. But I'm talking about who influences your life. Who influences your life? Who do you run with? And what's the end result going to be? We better run with each other. Yeah. Because we're called to be eagles, not turkeys. A beautiful thing. Strong, mighty. Yeah. Relationships. So, I'd like to say something rather radical. Going to church once a week is not going to cut it. Because that's one day in the midst of Christian community compared to 6 days with turkeys. Take that for what it's worth. You know what I'm talking about. So we're going to have to be involved with Christian people on more levels than just coming to an hour worship service a week. All right, an hour and 20 minutes. I don't want to be called a liar. It's going to have to be more than that if we're going to be strong. The Bible says this, that when two people come together as one, it's strong. When three strands to come together, it's likely not to be broken. Yeah. So we have to do that. We come to worship, and then worship should result in us doing what the early church did. They just spent time together. To pray, to worship, to share, to lift up. We've reduced Christian community to Sunday morning. That's a sad reduction. So we're going to have to get better at that if we're going to be strong. So here's our situation. Love protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres sometimes. That's our dilemma. That's the dilemma. It's not the answer, that's the dilemma. Sometimes, if we were to rewrite this into our weaknesses, it would say, it sometimes protects, sometimes trusts, sometimes hopes, and sometimes perseveres. That's the dilemma. What are we going to do about it? Let's change it to always. By renewing, by refreshing, by recharging, by the means that God has given us to do that. Take advantage of the means He's given us to do that. Otherwise, we become weak. Build these things into our lives. You know, we've got several people who have either been teachers or are teachers in this congregation. And a teacher can't just go into a classroom thinking, well, something will come to me. A teacher goes into the classroom having a plan. Shouldn't we as Christians in God's classroom have a plan to renew and refresh and recharge? You see, if we're not careful, we're going through life just kind of like, well, I hope I do okay. I hope something comes to me. I hope that love will persevere. I hope that it will, you know, trust and hope. And well, why not plan for that? Don't just think, maybe it'll happen. I hope it does. Well, we'll see. No! Plan for it. Plan ahead that we can always be the lovers we're called to be. Amen. Get a plan. So if you're thinking, I don't know where to start, get together with God and say, God, let's make a plan. Get out your calendar. Get out whatever it takes. Begin to organize our lives so that we're healthy. Because like Karen told us this morning, you can't give yourself away in love if you aren't well. If you aren't strong, you've got to say, you know, there's a certain measure of taking care of myself that has to be if I'm going to give myself away. God, let's make a plan. Here's what it'll look like. Does this challenge us? Is this challenging anybody? It's challenging me. So when I teach homiletics, one of the things I teach them is to have a plan where you can actually chart your activities. Have I read my Bible? Have I exercised today? Am I aware of what's going on in the news and in the world? What does God have to say about it? We have to chart some things. Keep track. If you've never charted your life, maybe we need to start that so we know where we're at first. We might be a mess and we don't know it. Huh? Yeah. We're a mess and we may not know it. We need to know it. Okay, and then when you discover how things are not working, well, then we say, okay, what's got to change? How am I going to chart my life with God at the throne of it to be the best I can be? Wow, that's a challenge, isn't it? Next Monday, right? Not this Monday, next Monday. Yeah, that's how we think. I'm not going to run home right now and do it. What are you, some kind of radical? Forbid that we would start today. Jim Williams. Oh, where am I in my notes? I have no idea. I think we just got to do this thing so that I have a conclusion here somewhere. Will you just get her done? Do you think that we've preached God's will today, that we've heard God's will? I think so. It's not a matter of if we think it's right or not. It's just a matter of if we do it. So let's pray. All right, so maybe you've done a preliminary evaluation already. And you need to bring that preliminary evaluation to the throne of God. Say, God, I think I need to step it up a bit. He'll probably agree with you. And now, Lord, now we need you to move in and inspire us and challenge us and help us and change us. Because the truth of the matter is, we have a dilemma on our hands. Sometimes we persevere. Sometimes we walk in the truth, and sometimes we do what love should do, but I have a feeling there's probably some gaps in our lives. And the only way to get rid of those gaps is to have you fill them with something better. So, Lord, show us. Show us what to do next. Show us how to manage our lives, ourselves better, so that we can be better lovers. Here we are. Don't leave us alone until we do it, I pray. In Jesus' name we come. We pray. Amen.